Hello, this is Chase Lamb, or C-Lamb1998, the author and a character in Poltergeist. Before the story starts, I would love to thank all of the people who put the time and effort into this series. Without them, none of this could be possible, and I appreciate them for all their hard work. I would love to thank Swamp Dweller, Unit 522, Vidith 22, Spirit Voices, Jensen Narrator, Dr. Creepin, Demon Creep, Korma Reads, Time 6, Mandy Mortem, The Crow Flies, Serenade, and my own mother. Be sure to thank them in the comments and enjoy today's story.
Jordan sits in his high school classroom, inspecting the birds fly by the window. He gazes, seeing the wind blow against the leaves on the ground. Just then, he's snapped out of his trance by Miss Leonard, his history teacher. She snarls at him.
Jordan, do you care to answer the question?
May 6th, 1937. That's when the Hindenburg disaster happened.
The teacher gasps in surprise.
Very good. I'm astonished you're still passing this course with how much you daydream.
She moves back to the chalkboard, leaving Jordan alone. He gazes at the classroom clock, observing the time. 2:00 p.m. He still has an hour of class to go. Sighing, Jordan takes out his phone to text his friends Matt and Jeff in their group chat. The group has its usual conversations. Girls, video games, and unnecessary photos they found funny. He was about to put away his phone before he received a text message from Jeff.
Jordan, me and Matt have been thinking about exploring the abandoned asylum. We think there may be ghosts there.
Chuckling, Jordan types.
Man, you guys know there ain't no such thing as ghost.
Jeff quickly replies with another text.
True, but what if there's something valuable to sell or something spooky in the asylum?
Before he can send another text, Jordan hears a thump on his desk. Looking upwards, he notices Miss Leonard with her hand out. Knowing what the gesture means, he gives her his phone. With a look of disappointment on her face, she lectures Jordan.
Jordan, you should know there is no texting in my classroom. You'll get your phone back at the end of the week. And while you're at it, visit the principal's office. I'm sure you will love to hear what you've been doing in my class.
Without hesitation, Jordan picks up his book and pencils, putting them into his backpack. Heading to the exit of the class, he gives a goodbye wave to Miss Leonard's classroom. He goes straight to the school's front door, calling it an early day. Exiting the school, Jordan gets out his spare phone. Due to the teacher holding his phone hostage, he holds a spare one for these occasions. A buzz emanates from his phone. Another text, this time from Matt.
Hey, bro. Jeff and I have some major plans. Call me when you can.
Jordan rolls his eyes, thinking of what silly thing his friends have planned for him this time. Last month, they played Ding Dong Ditch and were nearly arrested when a police officer caught them in the act. Smiling at the memory, Jordan dials Matt's number just like the message said. A person on the other line answers. In a friendly tone, a man answers on the other line.
This is Matt. How can I help you?
Jordan replies in an amused tone.
I would like one explanation on a call given by you.
Of course. Jeff and I are going to the asylum tonight. We're going to search for some copper. I know a great guy who'll give us a fair sum of money for any stuff we find.
A voice of doubt casts over Jordan.
You sure you want to do this? The last time we pulled one of your plans, we almost got arrested.
Matt's voice comes over the phone in a carefree jingle.
That was just bad luck, my friend.
Jordan puts the phone closer to his ear. His whole attention was now on Matt.
Sure, Matt, why not?
And who knows? There's probably ghosts there.
Okay, enough about ghosts. Where and when do you want to meet?
Westgate, 10:00 p.m. That's where we'll meet.
Thanks, bro. I'll talk to you later.
Hanging up his phone, Jordan opens the front door to his house. His cat goes up to him, pointing to its food bowl. Jordan knows what it wants. He goes to the pantry, grabbing the cat's food to fill up the cat's food bowl. Jordan strokes his cat's ear, snickering to himself.
You got it easy, Charlie. You don't have school, work, or any chores. You get to sleep all day while I spend a long, boring 7 hours at school.
Flopping onto the couch, he puts down the cat, staring at the clock on the wall, watching the time slowly go by. He figures he'll play Xbox until the time to meet his friends come, but before Jordan knows it, he is fast asleep. Matt yells in disappointment.
Damn it! I almost had it.
Jeff sets down the controller, stretching his arms.
Nah, bro. It looks like you're gonna have to try another day. You still can't beat me in Call of Duty.
Matt rolls his eyes.
Whatever, Jeff. Get your ass in the kitchen and get some noodles ready.
Jeff removes his gaming headphones and walks to the kitchen. Opening the cupboard, he grabs a bag of noodles and starts to cook them. Sticking his head out to the kitchen, Jeff looks at Matt, asking him about the asylum.
Hey, Matt, do you think it's gonna be safe to go to the asylum tonight?
Matt looks back, answering with confidence.
The asylum's been locked for over 40 years now. It's gotta have some valuable stuff in it, and who knows, it may even be full of ghosts.
Matt points at the clock, reading 5:37 p.m.
Let's be honest. Does 10 o'clock sound like a good time?
Jeff replies in a muddled tone.
Why? What's the problem?
It'll be cold out, and I don't want to be out too late.
Jeff rolls his eyes, disappointed in his friend's answer.
Fine, we'll do it your way. Let's make it 8:30.
Matt takes his phone, texting Jordan about the time change. After, the two pick up their controllers, ready for their rematch on Call of Duty. Jordan hears the alarm clock from his phone blasting from his pocket. Waking up, he takes a look at the screen. It's 7:45 p.m. He was more tired than he thought. His nap lasts about 30 minutes, not a couple of hours. He sits upright, letting out a tiring yawn, brushing the sleep away from his eyes. Cracking his joints, he gets off the couch, seeing an unread message on his phone. Grabbing it, he sees a message from Matt.
Jordan, there's been a change of plans. We're meeting at 8:30 now.
Putting the phone down, he walks to his dresser, tossing a pair of new clothes onto the floor. His house wasn't far from the old asylum, so he was in no rush to get ready. He put on a gray hoodie and blue jeans before exiting the bedroom and going to the fridge to grab a granola bar. With a mouthful of food, he feels his phone vibrate. Another text message.
We're off to the asylum now. We'll see you there.
The clock on his phone reads 8:10 p.m. Quickly, he runs down the stairs, exiting the house. Locking the door behind him, Jordan jogs down the steps, enjoying the crisp spring night. Cold weather with no wind. A perfect day to break into an asylum. There was no going back now. Matt stands there, outside the asylum, his hands in his pockets, shivering.
Come on. Where the hell is he?
Jeff stares back at Matt.
Quit shivering, you pussy. You're the one who wanted to come early.
I just didn't want him to beat us here.
Light footsteps approach from the bushes in the distance. Matt, in a defensive stance, points his flashlight towards the bushes, revealing Jordan. He shields his eyes, signaling for him to put down the flashlight. Stunned, Matt gives Jordan a handshake.
To be honest, I'm surprised you even came. You usually don't do these things.
Jordan replies, chuckling.
You know me. I've got those balls of steel.
Jeff interrupts, placing his arms around Matt and Jordan.
As much as I love this reunion, we should probably get inside before someone sees us.
The three agree, making their way to the asylum. Along the way, Jeff explains the plan.
A couple of days ago, Matt and I scouted the building out. We found a locked entrance on the west side.
He takes out a pair of bolt cutters from his backpack.
We're going to break the lock, go inside, and look for anything worth taking. Easy peasy.
Jordan raises his eyebrow with sarcasm in his voice.
Great plan you got there. Don't you think that's going to create, you know, some noise?
Jeff dismisses the question.
Trust me, bro. I know what I'm doing.
The three go to the locked door. Jeff takes the bolt cutter, breaking the padlock. A powerful echo comes from the lock as it hits the ground. Jordan and Matt immediately look at Jeff in an unfriendly kind of look. Jeff gives them the middle finger as he opens the door. A rush of rotten dust and rotten smell hit their faces as they enter the dark, lifeless building. The room's darkness now removed the light from the moon-illuminated sky. They take out their flashlights, studying the room in front of them. Red living paint fills the walls. Mold and cracks were visible on the walls, creating a misty smell, making them cover their noses. Jordan lets out a wheezing cough.
Jesus, what died in here?
Matt and Jeff stay silent, nearly gagging at the smell of the room. The three shine their flashlights on all corners of the room. To the left of them was a brown staircase with steps looking to collapse at any moment. There is an empty hall to the right, with doors leading the rooms. Jordan gives Matt a slight shove.
I thought there would be stuff in here, not some broken building.
No one has been in this building for over 40 years. What did you expect? A welcoming party?
Jeff shushes the two, pointing to a ledge above them.
There's got to be something up there. Let's take the stairs, but be careful. I don't want to carry any of you out with a broken leg.
Jordan takes the lead, moving up the stairs before stopping on the final step. Matt bumps into him, nearly tripping. Annoyingly, Matt whispers,
"What the fuck are you doing?"
Jordan's eyes widened. His body was frozen in terror at the sight in front of him. Quietly, he whispers,
"Guys, look at this."
The three of them flash their lights on a white wall filled with portraits of people in chairs. Each photo has a man or woman in a tortured position with gruesome details done to them. Jeff lets out a fearful whimper.
"Guys, what the fuck is this?"
Jordan and Matt shake their heads in disbelief, their faces bewildered at the portraits. One portrait shows a man bound to a chair, with restraints holding his wrists and feet in place. Clothespins keep his eyes open as the man sweats, frozen, laughing. Jeff, breaking the silence, takes the portrait and throws it over the stairs to the grounds below them. A loud thud of glass and shattered wood fills the room below them. Jordan lets out a voice of fear and skepticism.
"Calm down, Jeff. It's probably some fake photos, made to keep people away."
Matt shudders in response.
"Well, it's working. Come on, let's go downstairs. I don't want to be up here any longer than we have to be."
The three agree and make their way down the stairs, going back to the entrance. They look at the empty hall and descend it. A feeling of relaxation comes from the group, as the walls contain no portraits. Matt speaks out loud.
"So what did you think of the portrait, Jordan?"
Jordan throws up his hands in shock.
"I don't want to talk about it. Let's just find Copper. The faster we get some, the faster we can get out of here."
Matt turns to the left to face Jeff, but he's not there. Not seeing him, Matt tugs on Jordan's collar with force. Wide-eyed, he screams,
"Jordan, where's Jeff?"
Jordan ignores the question, yelling through the building.
"Jeff, I don't know what sick joke you're playing. Cut it out. I want to get out of here now."
The only response they get is the wind's sound outside, but a small ray of light catches their attention. The two exit the hall and approach the light. The light turns out to be a small lamp on a wooden table in the middle of the room. On the table is a written note with Jeff's flashlight beside it. The two look at each other with bewildered expressions, walking to the note, picking it up, Matt picks it up, reading it out loud.
Hello. I see you two have entered my home uninvited. I don't know the reason for your arrival, but you've made a terrible choice coming here. Your friend is with me. He has broken one of my portraits, so now he must be the replacement.
Throwing the note across the floor, Matt pulls out his phone to call 911, but there is no signal. Jordan and Matt search for the door they entered from, but can't find it. Jordan looks back at Matt with a look of desperation and a quivering voice.
This has got to be some sort of prank, right?
Abruptly, Matt's phone rings. He reaches into his pocket, tearing out the phone, nearly dropping it in the process. The display of the caller ID reads, Jeffrey. Matt gently presses the talk button. Tears come from his face as he whispers,
Jeff, where are you?
A slow, riddled voice comes from the other line.
Who said I want to leave?
The voice is Jeff's, except the words are scratched and sound like static. Frustration takes over as Jordan hangs up the phone. He tries to call 911 again, but the signal is gone. They return to the hallway, peering into every room as they sprint down the corridor. Each room is empty, with no contents inside. After examining the final room, the two grasp their knees, taking heavy breaths before a loud shriek gets their attention. Jumping to their feet, the two shine their flashlights to the location of the scream. At the end of the hall is a gray-looking figure. They can only see its back, but they make out some details. The figure's skin is gray, and its spine is crooked and squiggly. Its arms are twisted, almost like a badly drawn cartoon character. The figure turns to face Matt and Jeff, revealing two dark, circular eyes with no nose. A black liquid spews from its open mouth. The figure gradually walks towards the two. The two boys scream in terror. The figure hisses at them.
Why would you guys leave? It's wonderful here.
Quickly, the two run down the hall, turning to the nearest room, closing and locking the door behind them. Hearing the loud footsteps of the figure behind them, they lean against the door before the figure charges at it. The two try to hold their weight against the door, but the force from the figure knocks the two boys to the ground. It keeps charging at the door, nearly breaking it with every hit. The hinges on the door and lock were about to give out. Abruptly, the figure stops its attack, releasing a high-pitched scream.
Wait until you become one with us. You'll love it here.
Matt collapses to the ground, rocking back and forth, his hands to his head, repeating to himself.
We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die here.
Jordan kneels to Matt, placing his hands on his shoulders, reassuring him.
Listen to me. You're not going to die. There is only one of those things, and there are two of us.
Matt puts Jordan's hands off of him, pointing to the door.
Are you kidding me, Jordan? We can't take that thing on.
Jordan extends his hand out, bringing Matt to his feet. Before the two can do anything, they hear a knock at the now nearly destroyed door. The figure hisses out loud.
You're looking for your friend, correct? It's easy. The answer is behind you.
Jordan investigates the room, spotting a table with a blanket over it. He removes the blanket from the table, revealing Jeff. His eyes are gouged out from their socket. His nose is cut to the bone. The only thing inside his mouth is empty gum and blood. Jordan pukes on the ground, losing his balance momentarily, and cries. Matt stands in shock, whimpering to himself.
It's Jeff. He's dead. Jeff's dead.
Jordan grabs Matt's shoulders, looking him in the eye.
We need to move, now.
Matt nods, wiping the tears from his eyes. The two walk to the door, looking underneath it. not seeing any signs of the figure. They open the door to find themselves in a new hallway, not matching the one before. The hall smells of death and rotting flesh. Abruptly, a loud crash is heard from behind them. The two look back to see the door covered by a wall. On the wall is a message written in some black liquid. Jordan interprets it out loud, terror-stricken.
Since I'm in a good mood, I'll let one of you live and one of you die. There are two halls. There is one to the left and one to the right. Choose wisely, as only one of you can go down a hall. One leads to your salvation. The other leads to eternal torment by my hands.
Pushing Jordan to the ground, Matt runs to the left hallway, ready to test his fate. Jordan cries out in terror, watching his friend slowly disappear from his sight.
No, wait!
He starts to go after Matt before he stops himself, remembering the instructions. Only one person can go down a hallway. Hesitantly, he takes the right hallway to test his fate as well. Quietness fills the air, except for the tiny droplets of water coming from the nearly collapsed roof. On the walls are hung portraits of people in chairs, just like the ones they saw in the upper staircase. Jordan freezes at the sight of one of the portraits. In the portrait is Matt. He has a giant smile on his face, with his eyes cut open. His face is beaten, his arms and legs tied to a chair, and blood spews from his mouth. Slowly, Jordan looks away from the portrait, ready to accept his fate before a visible light down the hall gets his attention. He turns his flashlight, shining it in the direction of the light. It is a window boarded up by wood, revealing the night sky above. Above it are the words, "Jump to your salvation." Not knowing if it's a trick, he starts to step away, but stops, hearing Matt's screams come from the hallway behind him. The idea of saving his friend is gone when he sees what is running towards him. Figures of Jeff and Matt slowly approach him, black liquid spewing from their mouths. Without thinking, Jordan runs to the window. Behind him, he hears the footsteps of two figures gaining on him. He feels the fingertip of one of the figures brushing his hair before he breaks through the window. Landing on his side, he feels his arm pop out of the socket. Quickly, he takes the flashlight and points it to the broken window to see the figures beckoning at him. This doesn't stop him, as he runs with fear in his veins all the way home. At his house, Jordan opens the door, slamming it shut. He runs to the phone and calls 911. A woman picks up.
911, what's your emergency?
I need help. My friends are in Meadowbrook Asylum. Please help them.
Please, slow down. Are your friends still inside the building?
I didn't go to the asylum. It was my friends. They told me they wanted to explore it, but I said no.
Have you tried to contact them?
Lady, shut up. Just send an officer to the asylum.
Hanging up the phone, he tosses it halfway across the room. Taking off his shirt, he notices the bone in his arm is bent. Sharp pains come from his shoulder. With the adrenaline now gone and the added pain from his injuries, he passes out. Jordan slowly opens his eyes, waking up on the couch. It's morning. For a moment, he thinks it was all a dream. But the pain in his left arm comes rushing back, reminding him of the asylum, the portraits, and his friends. An amber alert on his blinking phone confirms everything that happened the night before was real. Last night, two people disappeared in the Brazen area, Jeffrey Higgins and Matthew Richardson. If you have any information regarding... Turning off the alert, Jordan knows they won't find them. On the left side of his phone reads an unread message from Matt. With trembling hands, he opens the message, revealing its contents. On the message are three portraits. The first and second portraits show Matt and Jeff bound to a chair, with looks of fear on their faces. The third portrait is in a white room with an empty chair, with five words written over it. You belong to us now.